For over 165 years at National Life Group, they believe good matters. It's their yardstick. Judge not by how well they do for themselves, but how much good they do for their customers and each other. Not just because it feels good, but because they believe that good is good business. Do good. Be good. Make good. National Life Group.
All right. Whole lot of good out there. Let's head to the phone. Let's give a nice warm radio from out. Welcome this morning to Bess O'Brien with Kingdom County Productions, who put together The Hungry Heart. Bess, good morning. Happy holidays.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Not too bad. What's new in your life? Anything of interest?
Oh, I don't know. Just trying to get through the holidays and dealing with the weather, which is, you know, snowing, raining, sleeting. Well, trying to figure out what it all means.
Yeah. Well, if you figure that out, will you let us know? Call us back?
Yeah.
It's nice to have all that sunshine out there, too, isn't it? Really sparks things up. Well, you did get a little ray of sunshine that your documentary film, The Hungry Heart, won a pretty big award. The American Society of Addiction Medicine. You know who they are?
Well, I actually just had lunch the other day with Fred Holmes. You know Fred.
Yeah.
He's in my movie, who's the star of my film, the pediatrician who I focus on in the movie. And he turned to me and said, Bess, this is a big, big deal. This is a big deal. I said, really? So apparently it is in the world of medicine. They are a national organization, I mean, sort of the equivalent of, the, you know, the American Society of Pediatrics. This is sort of the American Society of doctors who deal with all addiction issues and diseases. And so they had actually originally, the head of that organization saw the film in Washington, D.C. this spring because Patrick Leahy, our senator, of course, invited us to do a screening in Washington, D.C. for policymakers.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And the woman who was the head of the American Society of Addiction Medicine saw the film, and I was very impressed, obviously, came up to us. I was there, Fred was there, and Raina Lowell, who's in my movie, was at the screening. And we sort of kept in touch, you know, over the months, and then I got this letter 3 weeks ago saying that they had, you know, named the film Best Film of the Year for them. And they're having a big conference in Austin in April where they're going to show the film and give me some sort of plaque or award. No money, of course. Never any money, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when am I ever going to get that big check?
Yep. Well, you can just skip the hardware and let's go straight for the cash. So what do you think it was about the movie that really appealed to them?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, what they said in the letter, and I think the feedback that we get from most people who see the film, is that it puts a real human face on addiction, and it tells a story from a very personal point of view about many different people dealing with this disease from many different backgrounds and family members. And I think also having Fred Holmes, the pediatrician, sort of as the central character that everything revolves around, Fred also represents, in my opinion, I think, to a lot of people, a compassionate and very respectful way of dealing with folks who are trying to move into recovery from addiction. So I think that from the point of view of an organization that has doctors in it and medical folks and health workers, seeing Fred, this pediatrician portrayed in this particular way, I'm sure was something that they felt very strongly about and endorsed.
We're talking with filmmaker Bess O'Brien and talking about her movie, The Hungry Heart, a movie about opiate addiction here in Vermont. So how many times did you wind up showing this in Vermont this year?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's sort of funny because I still get calls from a town here and a town there, and I think to myself, my God, I would assume every single person in this state has seen this movie by now. At least it feels like it to me because I've toured in so many places. I'm sure we've shown the film probably close to 90 times in Vermont. That includes school screenings also. And, you know, beyond that, we've probably shown it 150 times in total because, you know, after the governor's big State of the State last January where he focused on opiate addiction and very nicely also honored our film. We just started to get loads of requests for showing the film all over New England. So we've been, you know, in New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts, New York. We've been as far as Alaska showing the film and out to Little Rock, Arkansas. So we've been showing the film beyond Vermont quite a bit, actually, in the last 6 months. And it's been awesome.
Wow. I hope you did more than one showing in Alaska. Holy cow.
Well, I actually didn't go. I sent somebody from the film there. Raina Lowell went there. It was for a big conference there, and I think there was one screening and then a Q&A, and then I think she was on a panel. So, yeah, but it was a whirlwind trip, that's for sure.
Yeah. You know, you've gotten a lot of reaction to this movie. What have you heard back from people after you've seen this movie that was not the usual compliments about how you've really put a human face on this? What did you hear in the last year that you went, wow, I didn't even think of that, or I hadn't heard that before?
Well, I think the thing that I hear the most from audience members when I travel around is just people getting up and saying, it's in my community, it's in my town, and I don't know what to do. I don't have the resources, I don't know who to call, my kid's on a waiting list. On and on and on. Now, I have to say that I think that Vermont is ahead of the curve. We're certainly not there yet. We need to do a lot better. But when you go into places like Maine and New Hampshire and Arkansas, you start to say, whoa, because those communities and those audiences in the discussions are talking about, you know, waiting lists that are forever and really just no resources. I mean, we went... we showed the film in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and you know there was this husband and wife whose son started out with prescription drugs and now was a heroin addict, and they had been trying to get him into treatment for the last 2 months, and they just everywhere they called, it was like, you know, we don't have room, we don't know where to put him, you're going to have to wait, and it's just being bumped around. So, I mean, to answer your question, I think that what I hear over and over again when I show the film is that this is everywhere, this issue. It is not just in Vermont. It is far away as Alaska, as close as New Hampshire, and that we don't have a handle on it. We do not have a handle on it. We need more resources. We need more support for families. We need longer-term care. We need better insurance that covers long-term care, because the other thing that I hear a lot from families is, you know, I got my kid into someplace finally, and then my insurance ran out, you know, yeah. 3.5 weeks into yeah. it, and then, you know, he gets kicked out of this program, and then what?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think one of the most heart-wrenching things is going to these screenings and having parents come up to us and just say, what do we do? And I mean, I don't know what to do. I'm just a lowly filmmaker, you know. What I also see at a lot of these screenings is the communities coming together. I mean, we have been brought into communities and cities all over New England and beyond through collaborations between, you know, the local hospital, the police, the local school, social service agency, all working together to try to deal with this issue. That is the upside for me. I really see a lot of community organizing coming around this screening, which is very optimistic to me, because what it says is that it's great because they're using the film to get an audience to come together, watch the film, and then a lot of communities say, get up afterwards with me and say, okay, if you're now... feel like you want to really work on this issue, there's a sign-up sheet in the back of the theater. Sign up, and we're going to meet in a month from now and really start working on this issue. So the film, which is cool, is sort of used as a galvanizing way of bringing people together to see hear these stories and then feel motivated to actually create action steps. So that's been very rewarding as I tour around.
Mm-hmm. Let me take a call from Brookfield. Brad, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, geez, I've been lucky enough to see the film. And, you know, you had a passionate doctor in a small community, the way things used to be. But, you know, and it will probably you know, find a lot of people trying to get their kids or friends into treatment. But as you were saying, the treatment that is offered isn't really amounting to a whole lot. I think that's where the education needs to come in, is because, first of all, like you said, the insurance companies dictate the length of time. I would think 28 days would be a minimum. It's hard to get that anywhere.
That's right.
That's all I got to say. Thanks
for your call. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was, yeah, good comments. I mean, I think that, you know, part of the other thing that you hear a lot about is, unlike, you know, once again, we can compare this to other diseases, right? We can compare it to cancer, excuse me, or other lifelong diseases, because we know that addiction is a lifelong disease. And when you have cancer, for instance, you go, you get your operation, you get your chemo, you get, you know, you have a doctor that follows you. And then, frankly, when you get through the initial stage of cancer and you're well, quote unquote, cancer free, there is a whole, you are still being followed. If something goes wrong, you can go back to your doctor. If you get cancer again, I mean, it's a circle that continues, you know. What happens, I find, a lot of time with addiction services is that somebody will go, excuse me, Mark. Sorry. Somebody will go into treatment for, 3 weeks or a month or whatever. And then they'll come back to their community, and there may or may not be an outpatient treatment program that can take them right away. So right away you have a gap, right? So you have somebody who's very vulnerable coming out of treatment back into their own community. They need something right away to connect that treatment that they just got out of into outpatient treatment. It's not always available.
Okay.
Or it is available, but it only goes for a while. Or, you know,
your Okay, I got to just interrupt you for a second here, because your phone just went absolutely berserk here on us.
Oh, it did?
Okay, don't move. You're perfect right there. Sorry,
okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry, man. Anyway, the point is that what I think is really frustrating for people in recovery and families is that there's all these sort of drop-offs where there'll be, you know, it's not a continuum of care that is airtight, you know what I mean? And the problem with when you're in recovery is that you need airtight. You need continual services that are around you at all times. And so I think that's really frustrating for people.
Let me take another call here. Let's go to Waterbury. Henry, good morning.
Morning, Mark. I've got a couple of short questions for your guest. Mm-hmm. Is this film available on the web? And if so, what is the URL to access it? If not, why not?
Okay.
And I'll even answer to your questions.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It is not available streaming. We do sell it on our website. We're a nonprofit organization, and so we unfortunately have to make a little bit of money by selling the DVD. It's $25 to buy the DVD. If you can't pay that, you can call me and I'll give it to you for cheaper. You can call Kingdom County 802-357-4616. Putting it on the web is tricky because in order to do that on our website, it's very, very complicated. It costs a lot of money. We've looked into it. And then trying to put it on Amazon or Netflix is also fairly complicated because you can't just do it anymore yourself. You have to get somebody, some organization to format it in a certain way and da-da-da-da-da. So it's actually become more complicated than it was even 5 years ago. But go to our website. If you can buy it there, that's great. If not, give me a call.
Why can't you just upload it to YouTube?
Well, you could, but then the problem is that everybody would watch it for free and we would make no money. And we have to make money because we are a nonprofit. I mean, we have to keep going. You know,
no,
this
I,
is a product that we made.
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take off from Williston. Sam, good morning.
Good morning. I have seen the movie. I've actually gone to a showing. It's very good. 28 days is a pin drop to the scenario. And I've mentioned it to people before. The Oxycontin was the gateway to the stuff that comes out of the city. And no one has addressed the problem, or at least trying to do something with the people that made OxyContin. They've made it so you can't get into it anymore, and they've washed their hands of the scenario. But yet, all these kids got addicted to that stuff, and all of a sudden that box is locked. So they go to the next thing that can get to them as cheap as they can, and this is the stuff that's coming up on Megabus.
Yep.
Now they're hooked on this stuff. 28 days will not do it. We need to clean out a facility in this state, be it down at the old Brandon Institute that they had down there.
Yep.
You need to put a chain link fence around it with barbed wire. You need to have dedicated staff that would work there that will not sneak drugs into the place. And you need to get these people to a point that they have a year away from this and another vision to see. You need to bring joy back into their hearts. They're dead inside because all they want to do is breathe this poison.
Yeah. Let me get Beth to comment. Thank you, Sam.
Sam, all very, very good comments. I mean, you're absolutely right. 28 days, in my opinion, is not long enough at all. I mean, wouldn't it be absolutely fabulous if we had a one-year program in the state of Vermont? I mean, it's all about money, right? I mean, you know, where's the money coming from? We need to find resources to make things like that happen. And you're right about oxycodone. I mean, OxyContin, it is harder to get now, and that's one of the reasons that heroin has become more prevalent. Heroin is also cheaper right now. But the other thing that we need to do is we need to educate doctors, because we know that part of this problem, not the whole problem, but some of the problem with the rise in prescription drug addiction is because there was years and years and years of overprescribing by doctors. And we have shown the film at many hospitals and for many doctors. We've shown it in medical schools. And it's very important for doctors to watch the film and talk about this issue. I think that doctors now are coming around and they're realizing, you know, if a young person or anyone comes in after an operation, I cannot, you know, hand out 70 Percocets. There are people in my movie, you may remember, Mark, who literally say in the film, you know, I had a shoulder injury at the age of 19 and my doctor prescribed 70 Percocets. Like, crazy town. Mm-hmm. No, we cannot do that anymore. So we have to really move away from overprescribing and prescribing a lot of these opiates, because if you happen to have genetic predilection, if you happen to be at a place in your life where things are going wrong and you need something to get you high, if you need to make some money and you get 70 Percocets, hey, guess what? You can take five of them and sell the rest on the street and make decent money. So we need to also really educate and work with our medical professionals on this issue.
Are there showings coming up you want to mention?
We're having a screening in New York City in January. My husband, Jay Craven, who is also a filmmaker, is showing his film Northern Borders in New York and for a week. And we are showing Hungry Heart for a day. It's going to be January 18th at 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock at a little theater in the Village. You can go to our website and find that out. So if anybody knows anybody in New York City who wants to come see the film, that would be great. Other than that, most of the upcoming screenings are out of state.
Mm-hmm. KingdomCounty.org is the website. Bess O'Brien, as I've mentioned before, could easily have gone another route and done, you know, happy, popular, schmaltzy movies, but she decided instead to do some serious and stuff that maybe will improve a few people's lives. So if you're looking for a place to make a nice, big, fat, charitable donation, I know Bess would appreciate that.
Thanks,
Let me, it's easier when I do it, isn't it, when you do it?
Yeah, can I just hire you to, like, you know, talk about that day in and day out?
Sure. Actually, you can. Let me ask this indelicate question. There are probably 5-6 people you really featured in this movie. Are they still all clean today?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Many of them are doing very well, and some of them aren't. And, you know, I think that's just the reality of addiction in general. Dr. Fred Holmes, sat down a couple of months ago and watched the film with a pad of paper and essentially went through and checked off all of his patients. in the film, and sort of updated who was doing well and who had fallen off the wagon, essentially. And his numbers were 60% had 60% had relapsed, and 40% were doing well. I don't know statistics really on, you know, if you took 10 people and started them in recovery, and a year later looked at those 10 people, how many would still be in recovery? But I would say the percentage is probably around that, which is 40, 60, 50, 50, something like that. So there are people in the film like Dustin Meschi, who is the one of the farm kid, who's doing great. In fact, I just saw him the other day. He's married, has a kid, is running the family farm, is, I think, 6 or 7 years clean now. Raina Lowell, who is the woman in the film who started using at 30, who ran the shoe store in Montpelier, doing great. She's gone on the road with me a lot. She was the keynote speaker this June at the governor's opiate summit in Montpelier. You know, she's doing great. Katie Tanner in the film is doing well. Yeah, there's a lot of people who, you know, have really stuck with it and are moving on with their lives, and that's really important to know, because people can do this. People can do this.
But 40%, I actually think that's higher than I mean, relapse is just remarkably high.
Yeah.
But still, I think people will be probably a little surprised to hear that, even that number.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, if you were to look, once again, anecdotally, at who is doing well after the film and who isn't, a lot of it has to do with the support system that they have around them, how strong their family ties are, whether they have a job, whether they have housing. The folks in the film, many of them who are not doing well, are the kids in the film who were not doing, who were in, you know, portrayed in the film as being homeless, not having an education, really struggling, not having a job. Those kind of things, if those things aren't put in place for people in recovery, it's going to be really hard to stay clean.
Aren't those support systems important for all of us? You know,
exactly.
And if you're on heroin, I mean, it's doubly important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Have a nice weekend. Thank you for your time, as always.
You are so welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for everything you do over there. I love your show, and you're the best.
Thank you for your time.
Bess, okay, ma'am.
Bess O'Brien of Kingdom County Productions, and again, they're up in Barnett and kingdomcounty.org. Well, this is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, AM 550 WDEV Waterbury, Montpelier. Quick break, back after this.
Hi, Kate here from Stowe Street Emporium in Waterbury, where holiday shopping has begun, carols are being hummed, and new memories are being made. My favorite part of the holiday season is reminiscing about Christmas.